Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. Today we're taking a look at some recent content from The Juice. That's the daily educational app some of your students might be using. Let's jump in. First up, a really heartwarming one, actually. It's about two friends, Pat Doremer and Mary Kroger. They're both 95 now.
And they've been sending the same birthday card back and forth since, get this, 1944.
Wow, 1944. That's incredible. They met in middle school.
Mm-hmm, in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And this card thing started around D-Day, believe it or not. But neither one actually remembers who sent it the very first time.
That's funny. What's the card like?
Oh, it sounds quite charming. A dog in a bow tie, a dinosaur. Messages about birthdays being colossal and hoping they don't become an old fossil too soon.
And they held a Guinness World Record for this.
They did, back in 94, for the longest greetings card exchange.
Right.
Another pair apparently passed them for a bit, but now, at 81 years, They're probably going to get that title back.
I love that. One of them said, Pat Doremer, I think, we never said we're going to do this. It just happened.
Yeah, Mary Kroger mentioned, the joke is that neither one of us knows who started the card. And also how it's like a fun competition, keeping in touch.
So for parents and teachers, this could be a great way to talk about, you know, lifelong friendships.
Absolutely. And traditions, how they start, why they matter, maybe even just creative ways to stay connected, right?
Yeah.
And the whole idea of world records.
Definitely. Okay, next story shifts gears quite a bit. It's about the Minecraft movie.
Ah, yes. The movie adaptation. It's been a huge hit, apparently.
Huge is right. It became the highest grossing U.S. film of 2025 really fast. Like $281 million here, over $550 million globally in just 2 weeks.
And that opening weekend, $163 million that beat Super Mario Bros. Sonic.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest ever opening for a video game movie.
And the audience reaction sounds intense. Kids cheering, running in the aisles, acting things out.
Yeah, apparently so. There was even mention of police needing to step in sometimes, which is something.
Wow. There was a film critic, Sitend Adlaka, who talked about its self-referential success.
Right, suggesting it taps into how kids already engage with Minecraft online, you know, the trends and memes bleeding into the real-world experience.
So discussion points for kids here could be pretty interesting. Why are video games so popular? And their movie version.
Mm-hmm. What makes a movie fun or memorable? Is it okay for audiences to get that involved? And definitely how online stuff can influence real-life behavior.
Good points. Okay, story number three takes us to the golf course. Rory McIlroy.
Ah, the Masters win. Big news in the sports world. He completed the career Grand Slam.
Which means winning all four of golf's major championships, right? The U.S. Open, British Open, PGA, and now the Masters.
Exactly. And it's incredibly hard to do. He's only the sixth golfer in, like, 90 years to manage it, joining absolute legends.
Hogan, Player, Nicklaus, Sarrazin Woods. Wow. That puts it in perspective. Many greats never did it.
And the win itself was dramatic. A playoff against Justin Rose, sinking a 3-foot putt.
And his reaction, quite emotional. Not just joy, he said, but relief.
Yeah, he mentioned falling to his knees, sobbing.
What?
You have to remember his history with the Masters, like that tough loss back in 2011.
Right, he had that message for his daughter too, Poppy. Never give up on your dreams.
And Tiger Woods congratulated him, calling it extraordinary and acknowledging the perseverance.
So talking points with students here seem clear. Goal setting, definitely perseverance.
Mm-hmm. Dealing with setbacks, bouncing back from disappointment. What a grand slam even means in sports. And, well, celebrating big achievements.
Okay, next up, something a bit more serious. Farming, climate change, and budget cuts.
Yes, there's a study indicating that cuts to research funding are actually hurting the development of farming methods needed to cope with climate change.
And it's leading to a slowdown in U.S. agricultural productivity. How big are the cuts?
The study mentioned about a 1/3 drop in funding, roughly $2.5 billion between 2002 and 2019, and more cuts might be coming.
Oof. What are the potential consequences they're talking about?
Well, besides the productivity slowdown, which has its own ripple effects, They mentioned needing more investment, maybe $4 billion a year. Without it, things like potential federal bailouts, relying more on other countries for food, more environmental damage.
Any specific projections?
Yeah, some worrying ones, like a potential 24% drop in corn production by 2030. And the U.S. Corn Belt, maybe becoming unsuitable for corn entirely by 2100.
Wow. They included a specific example too, didn't they? A scientist.
Right, Aaron McGuire at UC Davis.
Yeah.
Working on drought-resistant crops, cooling techniques, had to scrap data, lay off staff because of cuts. She called it devastating.
So for discussions with kids, this really touches on the impact of climate change on our food.
Definitely. And the importance of science, research, where the money comes from, how farming might change, and, you know, sustainability. Big topics.
Very big. Okay, fifth story. This one involves President Trump, El Salvador's President Bukele, and a deportation case.
Yeah, it's quite a situation. They basically said a man from Maryland who was apparently wrongly deported to El Salvador won't be allowed back into the U.S.
Even though there was a Supreme Court ruling involved?
Mm-hmm. The man, Kilmar Armando Abrego Garcia, reportedly had legal protection from deportation. An immigration judge had even ruled he faced persecution if sent back. He ended up in prison in El Salvador.
And Bukele called sending him back preposterous, with Trump agreeing.
That's what was reported from their meeting. U.S. officials apparently called the deportation an administrative error, but also labeled Garcia a terrorist, though there is no mention of a criminal record.
And there was also that comment from Trump about potentially sending U.S. citizens convicted of crimes to Bukele's prisons.
Yeah, that was mentioned too, that his attorney general was looking into the legality of that idea. It ties into his broader stance on immigration mass deportations.
Okay, so this is obviously sensitive territory, potential discussion points.
Well, it opens up conversations about immigration, deportation, the roles of different parts of government, like the courts versus the executive branch.
And international relations, how countries interact. Plus, fundamental ideas about justice, fairness, due process. Lots to unpack carefully.
Indeed. Okay, finally, we have a quote of the day. This one's from Leonardo da Vinci.
Ah, the ultimate Renaissance man. What's the quote?
I have been impressed with the urgency of doing. Knowing is not enough. We must apply. Being willing is not enough. We must do.
Hmm. Powerful. And fitting for someone like Da Vinci, who is known for, well, everything. Painting, science, engineering.
Exactly. Born in Italy, 1452, 1519. Mona Lisa, The Last Supper, but also notebooks full of inventions, anatomical studies, just incredible curiosity and skill across the board.
He really embodied that idea of the universal man.
He did. And the quote really pushes beyond just having good ideas or knowledge.
It's about taking action, isn't it? Applying what you know, actually doing the thing you're willing to do.
Precisely. So for kids, this could spark thoughts about putting knowledge into practice. Maybe discussing what a Renaissance person is someone with lots of different interests and talents.
And maybe identifying areas in their own lives where they can move from just knowing or wanting to actually doing.
Yeah, applying their learning could be a great reflective exercise.
So that's a quick run through of some diverse stories featured recently in The Juice.
So thanks for joining us.
And we'll see you next time
for another deep dive.
Thanks for listening to this overview of The Juice today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.